This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to part two of The Grave Talks as we continue our conversation with Craig Nearing about haunted Wisconsin. Let's go back to some of the Wisconsin locations. There's several that I'd like to talk about a little bit. The first one I want to touch on is one that I actually had an experience in, as did my wife, the Von Steele Winery in Algoma, Wisconsin. I always knew it was haunted. I've always heard the stories. I've visited there for years, well before I ever even did a ghost show. But we went there one time, and we were actually recording for a travel show, not ghost related. It was simply to talk about the wines. And we were filming, and we were sitting at the tasting counter. And my wife is actually the one that was running the camera at the time, and our now oldest, but our only at the time, and our littlest at the time, who was about three, was kind of running around. The grandparents are there kind of keeping her at bay. And I was talking and doing the tasting, and she kept feeling like someone was grabbing her behind, as if it was a child, you know, kind of reaching up, "Mommy, mommy." She wasn't hearing anyone say "mommy, mommy," but it felt distinctly like she was being tugged at. And she was kind of getting a little bit upset because she's trying to film, and why isn't Grandma and Grandpa keeping her at bay? And then she just glanced over, and our daughter was on the other side of the room. She was nowhere near her. There was nobody near her. And I was wondering what was bothering her, because I could tell, you know, she was keeping the camera on me, but her head was kind of looking around like, what is going on here? And it's funny, when we look back at the film at that same time, there's digital interference. And it was rare for this camera to ever give me digital interference. Just on a regular, like, middle of the shot, all of a sudden it just glitches up. But at that exact same time, we started to get all this digital interference. And then when it stopped, it was gone. It was one of the weirdest things. I still have the footage to this day. But that was my only paranormal encounter there. I never personally felt anything or heard anything or smelled anything. But that was our experience there. But I know that there's a lot of haunted activity that goes on in that building. Before we talk about some of the things that you found there and that you've written about in your book, can you give us a little background on the building itself?
I don't, my dates are so messed up now from all the different places.
Sure, don't worry about dates, just the story, really.
Okay. Well, There was the original, one of the original owners, Henry Smiling. He was the father of the ones that own it now, and he used to love making wines there. And now they joke that since he had passed on, that he is the one that haunts the place. Across the street, they got the production plant, the warehouse part of it, where they store all the wines and, you know, a bunch of cases of wines and stuff over there. And that part was actually originally a brothel. In fact, a lot of the old wallpapers are in that warehouse from when it was a brothel. It used to be a bar, a brothel, and downstairs there was some apartments and stuff. But the layout of the warehouse is kind of unique, that, you know, the doors come in from the front, they run down the back, and every room there where they store the wines and where it used to be a brothel was there's a door going out of another door, you know, there's just doors everywhere. Like, it was like an escape route for anybody that, you know, if the police came in, they could run out the back door. It's kind of unique.
And then eventually this turns, you know, obviously through time, into not a brothel, more of a commercial winery, and folks having, you know, experiences there of that sort. What are some of the things that occur there? What are some of the reports? What are some of the findings that you found there, and who do you believe is haunting it?
Well, in the main part, the winery that you were in, down in the basement, like I said, they think it's Henry Schmeling, and a lot of times they say that they'll see somebody down there, like a guy down there, or an old man down there playing around. When you had your wine tasting or whatever, were you downstairs in that neat little underground cavern, or were you upstairs?
This is just actually upstairs in the main room.
Okay. Yeah, the downstairs, the ceiling is like all this like stucco, and they store these barrels down there in like, you know, they got... It's kept at a certain temperature down there, and it's a really neat place down there. But we captured what seemed to be like footsteps walking down there, and coming down the, they got this like staircase that goes around in a circle, I forgot what you call them, spiral staircase, and we heard footsteps coming down the staircase. As we were going back up, there was a beer, a can of beer sitting on the stair. It might have been a bottle. Can of beer or a bottle of beer sitting on the spiral staircase that wasn't there when we went down, or we would have kicked it over. So it's like, okay, who just put a can of beer on the staircase? And that was kind of weird. And then one of our investigators, and we don't get this happen often, in fact, very rarely, he had captured up in one of the offices on the second floor of the winery, he captured a shadow that darts into the picture and then quickly darts back out of the frame. So, I mean, we rarely ever get shadows, so that was really cool that he had picked us up on his DVR.
Yeah, I mean, just to see that. With that being the assumption that it is the old winemaker still haunting the winery building, what's the thoughts on the building across the street that likely had a bit more colorful history with being a brothel? Those areas, obviously lots of energy when the people were living, being expelled for one reason or another, and not always in any sort of a good way either. What's the story over there? Is there the assumption there's something else going on in that building?
Yeah, there is. We had some decent amount of activity there. In fact, probably a little bit more so over there than at the winery. The winery seemed to be a little bit more at peace. Over at the brothel, I was sitting in one of the rooms, and I kept hearing something walk into the room. The room itself had this, like, every room had like one of these lights that was hanging down from the ceiling and had a pull string on it to turn on the light. All the light bulbs were missing, but they still had the strings or the things hanging down. And the room had this like cherry wallpaper. I'm not talking about the color, cherry wallpaper, but it had like cherries all over the wallpaper. It's just a really weird wallpaper. All the floors were made out of wood. There's some stuff laying around that, you know, if you wanted to get out of there quickly, you would have to trip over to fall. But there was like these footsteps going back and forth in this room that I was sitting in, and suddenly I heard this like like it stomped its foot next to me, and I said, am I making you mad? The minute I got done saying the word mad, the door of the room, one of the room, you know, of that room, slammed so close to me shut, and it slammed at such a force that when we tried to open it back up, we couldn't get it open without using some force.
That's, what do you think is going on there? Who do you think is haunting there? And this is, again, it's an opinion-based question.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it, you know, you never know, I guess. Is it one of the patrons who's mad? Is it one of the call girls or whatever that was part of the brothel? Is she there? I don't know how they liked that stuff, you know, back then. You know, was it something they liked? It's not like a school where you enjoyed your time there. So it's hard for me to figure out who was there. We never really got an answer of what actually haunts that place. I mean, there was a those lights that I was telling you about that hang from the ceiling. After we had got our bearing, we turned the flashlight on, that light was swinging back and forth, and all that could have been from the door slamming in the frame. But we had walked out of there to a different room, and the light was swinging in another room, probably about two rooms down, which I know wouldn't have caused that. That's, for some reason, it was swinging, though.
And it's probably very difficult to trace back much of the stories of the individuals who did reside there or worked there at the time. Is that an accurate statement?
No, definitely.
Yeah, to really get down to who or what or why they may still be there. Let's move over to another area in the state of Wisconsin that I know you've investigated, one that I also grew up hearing many stories about. I don't have any personal experiences there. I have some friends who did. I have some friends who produced that the documentary Haunted States. I'm sure you've probably heard of it. And they had some interesting experiences there. But I always found the building very fascinating, the Grand Opera House in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, a place that even when I would walk into felt, I don't know if it was just because it was one of those first childhood stories of, oh, yes, this place is haunted. Now let's go watch the Nutcracker, everyone. Just one of those, you know, passive Wisconsin mom things where it's like, we don't care if we freak our children out, they can handle it. And I remember, you know, being in there several times. I think the last time I was in there, I was introducing the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band for a show that the radio station I was working at was hosting. So this was, I don't know, 15 years ago. But a very interesting place, a very, very storied history. Give us some of the background for those of us in the audience who don't know historically how old this place is and some of its history.
What place are you talking about?
The Grand Opera. Sure, the Grand Opera House in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah. The Grand Opera House is kind of a really unique place. They had the, what was the... Percy was the caretaker of the Grand Opera House, and Percy is the one that is said to haunt the Grand Opera House. He was the caretaker there for many years. We were there, and we actually captured Percy on the audio, saying his name was Percy. There was like this loud stomp on the stage next to where I was sitting, and I had asked who it was. And a voice on the voice recorder came back and it says, I'm Percy. So that was really cool.
Why is Percy still there? I mean, obviously we can make assumptions. He was the caretaker. He loved the building. That may be the answer to the question. But why is Percy still there? What is he still doing? Is anyone, any investigators, yourself or any others that you're aware of, come to any conclusions there?
I think he just enjoyed being there. That was his stage. They basically stated that he took care of everything there, made sure everything ran smoothly. I think he's still there to this day to try to still run the show.
How long ago did Percy pass?
That I'm trying to, let me see if I can figure that out. I don't have all the details on. I know the Opera House was built in 1883, but I'm not sure when he came into play.
Sure. So Percy could very easily have been quite some time ago.
Sure, definitely.
What are some of the other is it mainly Percy who haunts the Grand Opera House? Are there any other spirits that are believed to be lingering there?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of, we actually were seeing, when we were on the stage, we were actually seeing a lot of different shadow play back by the, where the seats were. Like, people were out in the seats, or somebody was running around in the seats. We captured a couple different voices there. Down in the dressing rooms, we had captured a couple female voices and a couple male voices on EVPs as well as the ghost box.
Okay.
Now, I was going to say, the stagehand Percy, he was actually there for, I found it, he was there for 70 years, from 1895 to 1967.
So, okay, so it passed quite a bit of time ago at this point, and still lingers. Do you have any knowledge? I mean, obviously, buildings like this, and I guess my question should be, do you have any knowledge? But my question would be, if you were to look at all the locations out there that you've investigated, whether it be theaters such as the Grand Opera House, to hospitals, to schools, to homes, is there any location that you would say tends to be more haunted than others? If you were to have to randomly pick a building that's abandoned, house, school, hospital, what, maybe something else, Where can you almost say this is likely going to have paranormal activity at it?
Definitely old hospitals, schools, churches. Even one wouldn't think church, but we investigated St. Joe's Church in Berlin, Wisconsin, and that place was just crazy with activity. From, we used to do some stuff called, we used to use walkie-talkies inside the church and school, because they were so far apart. There was the priest quarter, well, not the school, I would say. It's a church, but it had a school attached. So the school's attached to the church. Mm-hmm. Then there's a separate entity that had the priests in it, and then a separate entity that had the nuns in it. So we always had walkie-talkies. We'd actually get voices coming through the walkie-talkies that, now I know it could be like somebody talking on the CB, but this was just odd. The voice that came, and it was really a weird, crazy, like harsh voice coming through the walkie-talkie, and it said messenger. I'm like, well, you're the messenger? And we've heard this a couple times there. We actually heard it on the voice recorder as well for an EVP. And then we had on one of the tours that we used to do tours there, we had a fire department, one of the fire officials, come through on a tour to hang out with us for the night. And he had his emergency pager on him, and or emergency, you know, whatever we call them, like pagers or whatnot. And through the pager came a voice, and it again said messenger. And he picks it up. He's like, no one's allowed to be on this frequency. The only thing that comes through this frequency is our calls. He goes, that's just odd. So...
very bizarre. I've been in that building, and I honestly was unaware that it was haunted. If I had to put money on it, I would say it probably was, but I had no experiences there. We were there last summer, honestly, just going around antiquing in the area.
Yep.
And someone suggested, oh, go over to St. Joe's. I had been in Berlin years ago. I had a high school girlfriend who lived in Berlin, so I used to make that drive all the time. And I had actually never gone on that side of the town. I didn't even know St. Joe's was there. And I thought, wow, this looks like an amazing place for an antique store. And I have a lot of really fun antique creepy photos that I took throughout the store. One that was so bizarre to me, I was just wanting to get one last photo before we left. So I walked up to the balcony really quick. And my wife, Jen, she's a bit more sensitive than I am to all this stuff. She did not want to go up there. And I didn't know if it was just because she didn't want to climb the stairs or if there was something else. But she's like, no, I'm not going up there. I walked up to the balcony, and this was very likely human done, but it was creepy nonetheless. Sitting dead center on the balcony, on a music stand that was placed center. So if you were looking straight into the sanctuary there, where you would have a piece of music on this music stand was a Ouija board.
And I'll tell you, it made the best damn picture ever because I got the Ouija board there and then overlooking into this this Catholic sanctuary that, very ornate and beautiful. And I know our listeners of our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, have seen it because I've used it in graphics before. But it is quite a building. And walking through those halls of the old school area, it's haunting. I mean, and just in a even non-ghostly sense, it just has such a weird feeling to it. Who do you think is haunting that school, that church?
There was a lot of reports that came in from that place as well, from various accounts. And again, this is just a rumor and hearsay, but it came from a lot of the people that actually went there to the school there and stuff, and were there during the time that the nuns had it. And they stated that some of the priests had done bad things to some of the kids there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, and I've heard that from so many people there. So maybe they're just traumatized to the point where either it's we actually captured a and it's funny because it's not funny. We captured a voice on there about a priest that used to go there, and he actually had talked to us a couple times there. He was passed away, but he came through on the ghost box quite a few times. And I'm trying to remember his name, Father Michael or Father something. I can't remember the name off the top of my head now. Anyways, we had posted some of that stuff online, and one of the Catholic churches that is now over there in Berlin, the one, where they left and went to a different section there, it's up on the hill. One of the fathers got a hold of me. He says, I'm interested in your findings at St. Joe, because the father that you're talking about, he goes, I knew he was killed in a train accident. So that was kind of unique to find out that the father we were talking was passed on. So the priest took an interest in our work over there. And the priest quarters, we had so much activity there. I left a voice recorder by accident in there one night, not overnight, and I figured I'll just leave it in there the rest of the night. So I came back, got it the next morning, went over the audio just to see it. There was literally footsteps going up and down the stairs of the priest quarters, the house that's like if you've been there, you'd know it's the brown house, the big brown house out front. That's the priest quarters. And there was footsteps going up and down those stairs on a regular basis. Now, that was the place that we did tours for quite a while for guests to come in and investigate with us. It's one of the very few places that many of our guests didn't make it past the second floor of the priest quarters, and they had to leave. They were so scared. You'd get scratched there. I got scratched there. A couple of our other investigators got scratched there. One in the gymnasium of the school, one in the priest quarters. I mean, that'd be the last place you'd think that you'd be getting a little bit of the, not necessarily the violent or the negative activity, at a church. Yeah. But it was happening there. Just a lot of interesting stuff there. They've seen shadows go through floors there at the priest quarters. It was a really amazing place. There was one time up in the attic of the priest quarters, we had some guests on the tour, and they were saying, well, I'm not hearing a whole lot. And he looks up the stairs. He goes, I don't think you're up there. Suddenly footsteps start coming. They went boom, boom, boom down the floor. I've never seen a guest take off so fast in my life. But that was a neat place. I liked that place. And all of our investigators say they'd love to go back there. But right now, because it's a antique place, and I'm not sure who it's even owned by anymore.
Very definitive activity there, and very, sounds like very conscious as well, which that in itself almost makes it a bit more scary.
Yeah, it was one of the very few places that I wouldn't, again, like I say, I'm usually pretty good at walking around alone, but it seemed like after the lights were out and everything, it's like, you want to come with me and get my flashlight? I left it over there. I'm not going in there by myself. So
when I was there, you could not access the house. There was some stuff in the alleyway between the church building and the house.
Yep.
And there was some stuff up on the porch, the back porch of the priest quarters. And I did walk up there to take a look at the stuff, but was more so to peer into the windows and take a look that way. And you're right. That's one of those places where I, again, I'm not super sensitive. I put myself at a 1 or a 2, not nowhere near a 10, but it felt uncomfortable even on that porch. And I didn't know why, if it was just my mind, but I can honestly tell you, is a place I did not know had any story to it. You're the first person to ever tell me that. If I were to guess there was, I would assume maybe there was knowledge out there of this, but I did not have any.
It's in my first book, and there's it goes into a lot more detail of some of the stuff that happened. What's the title on it? Anything Goes at Old St. Joe's.
Okay.
So, one of the things inside that priest quarters that was kind of weird, that seemed, you know, the staircase, there's like one main staircase that went all the way up to the attic, and one that went all the way down to the basement, or the same one that went all the way down to the basement. And it was a walk around till you got to the basement. I guarantee it's like six flights of stairs down, because if you're looking at the priest quarters, you got the first floor, you got the second floor, you got the attic, and then you got the basement. So these stairs go around and round all the way down. Everybody used to say, "Are you taking us to hell?" I said, "No, it's just to the basement." One of the things, and this is another one of those things you wrap your mind around. We were up in the attic doing a ghost box session, and I had asked who was there, and a voice came back, and I forgot what its name was. It was a really odd, kind of an off name they don't hear too often. But anyways, I said, "How long have you been here?" And the voice said, "I've always been here." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you've always been here? How long have you been here?" And it said, "Before Earth, before God." I'm like, "What? That's what we got." And we're like, "What?"
That's one of those where you probably don't want to continue that conversation anymore.
Yeah.
Do you feel that something like that would, you know, would be demonic, that could possibly be there?
We felt something dark there. Definitely the voice that came through off just that, you know, that conversation up there, and then on other nights was the same voice. It was just this dark monotone voice that would come through, and everybody always got shivers when whatever that person was talking, when that was coming through the ghost box. It was definitive that it was just, I don't know, either something that had a really deep voice or just something that just didn't seem quite right. There was a lot of people that left there feeling very sick, nauseous, and couldn't stay there. Should go into one story. We did another tour. We had two females leading the tour, and I was there videotaping with an SLS camera with full spectrum and stuff, and I also had a thermal camera, you know, that picks up the hot and cold spots like firefighters would use. And we were walking down to the gymnasium on one of the, out from the school, we were walking down to the gymnasium, and got to the second level, and this girl, Jackie, that was on our team at the time, just suddenly started screaming. She was one of the investigators, or one of the tour leaders, and she's like, "Something's holding me down. I can't move." And I'm like, "What?" And I turned around, and one of my other investigators pulled her away from the wall, and I had the thermal on her at the time, and I captured what looked like some type of apparition that separated from her body once she was pulled away from the wall. They were so scared that they left me to do the rest of the tour. Yeah. And they ran out of the building. They ran over to the nuns' quarters, and that was kind of we had like a safe room over there. And they went over there and they got some sage. They were going to do some, you know, sage themselves outside. When they went to grab the sage, they heard a growl come out from that room. Well, she ran out of the room again outside and just started crying. So it took her a while for her. I think she came back about a year later, but it took her a while to step put back into that place again.
That's so interesting, because so often, you know, people think of churches as, you know, sanctuaries, as safe places from dark forces, mainly dark forces of the world. But then to have something like this, and to be such definitively dark, it raises so many eyebrows, to say the least.
Yeah, there was a neighbor next door. There was a house next door, and they moved. They've had so many problems throughout the years. That was the reason they moved, too. But they lived there for about 3 years, maybe longer than that. And they had a balcony going up onto the roof, and they said they had so much activity in the house. They didn't tell me everything that was going on, because she was just so scared. But she said one of the things, she woke up one morning, walked out to her porch, and open up the doors that lead out in, just to the edge of the roof. And there was footprints out on the roof. And they walked over to the right side, and then they were down on the ground, and they continued over to the church. And they, she said they weren't like normal footprints. They were almost like, you know, and I don't want to take a saying out of Amityville Horror, but they were like hoofed footprints, like a pig.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, did she make it up? But no, they had somebody that, one of my investigators lived nearby. They went over there, and, you know, they, and nobody's in their right mind is going to walk out on this roof and make some fake pig prints, so.
Yeah, or let their pig out.
Yeah,
if you happen to have a pig.
And they associate demonic activity with a swine and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know where that comes from or what the truth behind that is, but.
Yeah, but that's definitely something that is a commonly held belief or assumption. And when you have those things where it's a commonly held thought or assumption, you know, even if it's there's no, you know, antidote to the answer of that question somewhere in history, if enough people feel that way and that's it knows that that's how it's going to be recognized, I think it'll take whatever form society currently recognizes as its calling card and take that. Take that form.
Yep.
Yeah. That is a very interesting story about that. I didn't even realize that was in your first book, that location. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't realize that because I don't think we would have, but my wife would have allowed us to go into the building had we been aware of that. I don't believe she purchased anything there that day. So, and even if she did, I don't think I'd tell her.
I'd love to see that picture of the Ouija board that you got over there.
I will send it to you. I have a whole collection of pictures from that building that I took. I've never really examined them in any sort of great detail. I just took them because I thought they were fun and creepy.
Sure.
But I'll send them to you so you can take a look, and maybe you'll even find something that I didn't see in them. But a very fascinating place. If any of our listeners are ever in that area of the country, definitely I would suggest going there because it's if you like antiques, it's a great antique store.
Yeah.
But if you just like creepy old buildings, it's a great creepy old building as well. If you like both, it's a win-win. So.
Yeah, the church is made up of all granite stone, and that the granite stone actually came from the Berlin Quarry.
Okay.
And granite is supposedly noted to hold energy too as well.
Yeah, it's an amazing building. That wraps up part two of our interview. Thanks to our guest today, Craig Nearing, for discussing all these haunted locations in and around the state of Wisconsin. It's been a great, great time talking with you, Craig. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moro Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.